All right, we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. What we're getting, we've been doing some messages on prophecy. Last week we taught on the subject of the rapture. We talked about the rapture, and that is something that absolutely could happen just any moment, any time. And according to the scriptures, we should comfort one another with those words. And that is a comforting thing, to know that Jesus could come at any moment and receive us up into the air to be with him forevermore. That's a marvelous thing and a great comfort to God's people. And so we taught on that. And what we're going to do the next time I teach, I'm going to do, I think, two messages, I believe, on the subject of the Antichrist. We're going to see what the Scripture says about him. And so we'll be doing that. But this morning, what I want to do is, after the rapture, you understand that when the rapture happens, then the tribulation period begins. The man of sin, that old Antichrist, is going to be revealed. And so what I really want to do, I just really want to get one principle over today. And I think it's very, very important. I think we don't give enough thought to it. And I think we have the idea as Americans, because we've always lived in America. And we've always been blessed in America. Abundance we've always had in America. And I think in some ways, we think that's the way it's always going to be. And that scares me a little bit, because I think you probably think, as I do, that we are in the last days. Now, I don't know if Jesus is coming tomorrow or the next day, but what I'm saying is, don't you in your heart believe that we are in the last days? That being so, and I'm just convinced that definitely we are. All you have to do is look around what's going on in the world today, and we see Israel back in her land, and all the amazing tragedies that is taking place across the world, the economic thing that is not just in America but across the world. And that is happening, and we're seeing all of this kind of brought together. I believe that these, even the terrorists, and all of that that's going on is part of Satan's plan to draw the world together. And it is doing that. We're not a nation anymore, we're a global anymore. So what I'm saying is that's part of Satan's plan. This terrorism is helping the nations unite to even fight against it, you know. And so what I'm saying is, I think everybody in this room probably understands that we are in the last days. And the thing that bothers me is this: I think we can get carried away with that, thinking that nothing is going to happen in America so bad that everything is going to continue as it is, and it'll be okay, and we'll always have abundance, and we'll always be blessed. But I'm just saying to you, I think that's dangerous to do that. Because I do not know, and you don't either, what's going to happen in the future. But I do know this: we just get kind of lackadaisy about things, thinking that we're always going to have the good jobs, we're always going to have the abundance of things, and grocery stores are always going to have plenty of food, and all of these things. We've just got it in our mind that that's the way it's going to be. And what I want to do is, I want to today show you in the scriptures that the scripture teaches that evil men are going to grow worse and worse. And things are not going to necessarily get better across the world. We've got to understand that Christ, for the Christian, Christ is our goal. He's what we're looking for. But the end of time and the end of this world is, and I might say Christendom instead of Christianity, Christendom, the end of it is a false prophet coming. The Antichrist coming. And he will be a person, an individual. And I call him the son of the devil. Devil incarnate. And this is going to be much more, and I know as Christians, we're saved, the rapture happens, we're gone, but this is going to be a horrible, horrible time upon this earth, and he's going to be the last world dictator. Now, I spent quite a bit of time on the 70th week of Daniel, talking about the 70th week. That is the week of tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. And that can happen and begin just as soon as the rapture happens. And if you and I believe, and I think, I trust you do believe, that rapture could happen in a moment's time. Any moment. There's nothing has to be accomplished before the rapture takes place. And then the tribulation period begins. Now, we again, I think, we're a little bit selfish in the fact that we think before the tribulation begins, everything with us is just going to be all right because we're Americans. Well, and I'm really not, honestly, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. I want you to have your trust in God, not in politicians. I am grateful for this. I'm grateful that we have this election coming up. I think some things can change, but my dependency is not on this election. Now, should you vote? Yes, you should vote. Absolutely. Our pastor's been telling us that, and we should. We should vote. We should do everything we can. But I want you to know something. My hope and my dependency is not on this election and politicians. My hope and my expectation is upon God. And I again, just kind of want to take some time here and share with you and show you that the scripture teaches that things are going to get worse. And why would that not be also for America? And again, no one's trying to scare you. I'm simply wanting you and me to put our dependency on the Lord. For no matter what happens, He is our rock. He's our salvation. You see, not America's politicians. They've already proved what they can do. And it isn't pretty. And so I guess what I'm saying is, I just want you to trust God. And every day of your life, I want you to remember when you get up that your trust is not in what's going to happen in America as far as taxes or the stock market or any of those things, but what is going to happen at us is dependent upon our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's important because we can very, very easily get taken away with the thoughts that, boy, everything's going to be okay and it's going to return, the old America's going to return, and I personally, I don't think it's going to. Now, will there be some maybe ups and ups? Maybe there will be. Maybe God will give us another time here. But soon, I'm telling you, the end is coming. And the end of the Gentile nations given to us in the book of Daniel, there's only four of them. that are world powers. That is Babylon, that's Greece, that is Persia and Greece, and then the Roman Empire. That is all there is. There will not be a world power made of Muslims that's going to control this world. They may get powerful, they may do terrible things, but they will not control. They will not be a world power, because there's only one more world power, Gentile-wise, to come, and that is the revived Roman Empire. And we're seeing that happening today in front of our eyes. Over in Europe. Europe is rising again, and we're going to see that happen and continue to happen. And then he tells us there's one other kingdom in the book of Daniel. I think it's the second chapter. There is one other kingdom that's going to arise, and that is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I'm saying is these other Gentile nations that we have heard about in the book of Daniel and we're seeing develop over here in Europe is going to be crushed by the power of Jesus Christ. We are not going to find America or the world turn nice and good. That's not going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse. So again, I'm mainly telling you that to try to warn you and try to help you, and at the same time to encourage you. We have a great God. He's promised to care for us, but we don't know the difficulties that we're going to face before Jesus comes. And I'm afraid as Christians we get lost in that, and we get to thinking that nothing is going to get too bad and then the rapture will happen. Folks, you don't know that, and I don't know that. I believe the rapture is going to happen, but what's going to happen before the rapture, none of us know. So again, I want to go over to the book of Matthew, 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I want to read a few verses. Verse number 3, let's start. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and that's Matthew 24, verse 3, he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." He talks about here, and I think he's referring here to the Jewish nations, "And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." There's no doubt that Israel is a hated nation. We know that. They're hated, they're despised, and they're just a little old nation over there in the center of the world. But they're hated because God said they would be. They're hated because they are the children of God, the chosen nation of God. They're hated and despised. And he's telling us that things is not going to get better because the love of many shall wax cold. And we are taught in the scripture in Revelation about even the churches in the book of Revelation leaving their first love. We've got to be very careful about that. I'm not going to preach on that, but I did that here some time back. But the first love is a love that does not stand on just something you see and desire, but it's a love that comes from the heart for Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. It's a love that, you know, that goes far beyond any other kind of love. It's an agape love. And he says that kind of love is certainly going to wax cold. And I think we can see that in Christianity in America. There's a waxing cold of the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So he's just simply warning us there that this is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. In fact, over in the 24th chapter, the verse 36, he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." He said, just like it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that in the days when the Son of Man comes and is revealed. What I'm saying, drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and isn't that basically the life that we see in America today? Everybody eating, drinking, enjoying, marrying, and just really the activities, the pleasures of this world has become more important than anything else. And so what he's saying to us is, that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes. Now, I'm just trying again, as I tried to tell you, you look at that and you go back to the days of Noah, and I do not know how many people were on the earth during that time exactly, but I do know this: only 8 of them were saved. Only 8 of them got on the ark. I go to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, not going to go over there, but he tells us it's the same thing is going to happen as it was in the days of Lot. And in the days of Lot, when they came out of Sodom, Gomorrah there, Lot and his 2 daughters and his wife, and she soon turned back and was turned into a pillar of salt, only really 3 of them, or 4 if you want to count his wife, came out of that tragedy. And the reason I'm stating this is this: the percentage of those that are saved is small comparison to those that are on the earth today. The Bible teaches that. You know, it's the Broadway. There's many that's on the Broadway. Few, he says, are on the straight and narrow. So it's important that we understand that. That we look around and we see what's going on in America, and we shake our heads and say, well, everything's going to get better. Well, I'm saying to you, I wouldn't hang my hat on that. I just wouldn't. And you've got to be very careful. Jesus even asked the question over in Luke 18. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus asked that question. Shall he find faith on the earth? You know, we said in I think it is a good Bible believing church, and where the Word of God is preached. But folks, we're just a small entity here. You look at the world around us. You look at the counties around us, and look at all the people this morning that certainly doesn't want anything to do with God this morning. And what I'm trying to say to you is, we've got to be very careful that we don't get in that mindset that we think that everything is going to get better. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. What I'm trying to do is get you to believe in God and trust in God. Amen. And put your faith and trust in Him, not in this world and its system, because it's going the wrong way. Let's go over to the book of 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. Verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to stop there a moment. Do you realize that God said, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution? Now, He said you shall suffer persecution. That's important to understand that, because I question sometimes whether we suffer much persecution. And He said if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. Amen? See, this is not something that's going to just get better. It's something that's going to get worse. Because here's what He said. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Did you hear what He said? Evilness is going to get worse and worse. And I don't know how you feel about it, but all you have to do is look around at what's going on in this world and the evil activities that is going on. I mean, things that we would never have thought of years and years ago is going on in America. I mean, evil, terrible things, wicked, wicked actions of men. God said, that's the way it's going to be. Now, we think some miracle is going to happen and all at once everybody's going to start living right. It isn't going to happen. The only way they're going to start living right is if they get saved. They get born again. They trust Christ as their Savior. That's why it's so important we get the gospel out. We've got to get the gospel out, because that's the only thing that's going to change people's hearts. Ain't nothing else going to change it. You understand? God said they're just going to grow worse and worse and worse and worse, and that's exactly what we're seeing today. You see, do you think maybe next week and week after that maybe everything's going to straighten out and things are going to be better? What I'm trying to do is, don't you hang your hat on that. That's not what the scripture teaches. It teaches just the opposite, that things are going to get worse and worse. And he goes on and he says, but what do you do? Well, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he goes on and talks about knowing as a child salvation. What's he say to do? Well, you continue doing right. Live right every day of your life. Be honest. Love the Lord. Treat people right. Try to win people to Christ. You see, this is what God has given for us to do. You see, as far as the church is concerned, I think sometimes we think that the church was put on this earth to make this world a better place. That is not why He put the church into this world. He put the church into this world is to save the sinner. Amen. Now, will that help things? Certainly. The more people you get saved, the more hearts and lives are changed. But He didn't put us here to make this world better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Do we understand that? You see, and that's why that we've got to be very careful. You see, Jesus has not delayed His coming because the world's not good enough. Jesus has delayed His coming because the world's not bad enough yet. He's given it a chance. He's showing his grace and his mercy, you see. But he is coming. The tribulation period is the final judgment of God upon this wicked world. And you see, that's where we're moving toward, is the tribulation period after the rapture of the church. Look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. He says, I think we're right there. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. See what he charges Timothy and the rest of us to do? Well, he said, you just preach the word. No matter if it's popular, if it's not popular, you preach the word. No matter if it's in season or out of season, you preach the word. You see, our pastor taught us when we was in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. The basic truth of that chapter is that prophecy or preaching is what's important. The preaching of the Bible, preaching of the word of God is what is important. That's the only thing that's going to help mankind, is the preaching of the word of God. Well, we've got to be preachers. Not talk about just standing behind a pulpit. We've got to take the word of God out through tracts and through word and tell people about Jesus Christ, you see. And he says then in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Once again, he's telling us what's going to happen down the road. He's telling us there that people will turn away from sound doctrine. They'll hunt teachers that will, because they've got itching ears, that will itch their ear for them, make them feel good. Tell them things contrary to the scripture, but make them feel good. And folks, that's where we are today. We're there today. And multitudes of people do not really want to hear the word of God preached as it is, not the way they think it should be. Are you listening? You see, they want to turn aside from the truths of the word of God. So again, he's warning us. What's he warning us about? Well, he's telling us this thing is not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And America is not exempt from that. Okay? America is going downhill in her religious beliefs. Okay? See, I want you to listen to me, because if you don't, you're going to start putting your trust in the politicians. And what's going to happen in America, the future, instead of God? And your hope and your trust must be in God. Your expectations must be in God, not in this system here in America. Okay? In Matthew, and I don't think I'll turn over there, but in Matthew, the 13th chaptery, you remember the story of the tares and the wheat? And what he said was, you know, he sowed the wheat, the seed, and then overnight he said an enemy came and sowed the tares, and they was growing up together, and his disciples asked the question, or his servants asked the question, should we go out and should we pull up the tares? He said, no, let them grow until they mature, because if you pull up the tares, you're going to pull up the wheat also. He said, but don't worry, at the end, he said, in judgment time, he said, I'll send my angels and they'll pull up the tares and they'll burn them. And he said, they'll bring the wheat into my barn. The reason I'm saying that, folks, the tares and the wheat today is growing together. It's growing together. I heard an old preacher once say, and I hesitate always to use it, but I'm not sure he wasn't close to right, B.L. Lakin, he used to say 80% of church members are lost. Now, do I know that? Of course not. But what I'm saying is, he was trying to get a point over that multitudes and multitudes of church members are playing games. That's all they're doing. They're playing games. And one of these days, God's going to gather them, have his servants gather them, and they're going to be burnt. That's not fun. That's not funny. What I'm saying to you is, you be sure. You just be sure that you're God's child. That's all I ask. Be sure that there was a day in your life when you truly, truly called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Now, the reason I'm stressing that is this. What I see in Christianity a lot today is this. I don't see repentance. I don't see sorrow for sin. When was it you become so sorrowful over your sin that you truly trusted Christ as your Savior? Because you have to come to the place of being lost before you'll ever be saved. And when was it that you ever was so repentant over your sin that you called upon Christ? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, that's dangerous, because now I see a proud attitude in many Christians, and I think, when did you ever repent and turn to Jesus Christ? Because that's what it takes. Takes repentance and sorrow for sin, and then calling upon Christ, he'll save our soul and give us eternal life. Amen. So we know that the tares and the wheat, they're growing together. That's just part of it. That's what Jesus taught. Back in the book of Revelation, I don't have time to really turn back there, but the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, he talks about an angel comes out and tells this one who is sitting on a cloud with a sickle, thrust your sickle into the earth. It's time to be reaped. See, what I said earlier, Jesus not putting off his coming because the world is not good enough, it's not bad enough. There's a time when reaping is going to happen, when it gets wicked. I mean really wicked, to where there's no hope, and God is going to put his angel out and he's going to thrust his sickle into the earth. In fact, there's two angels that do that in Revelation 14. Thrust their sickle because it's time for it to be reaped. So we're not looking for America and this world to get good. We're going to see it get worse and worse and worse. Now, I've got to take time to do this because I don't want to leave you with no hope. I want you to go back over to the book of Psalms, the 62nd Psalm. In fact, I want to encourage you to do something sometime. Just take the 62nd Psalm sometimes when you're really down in the dumps and read it. I'm going to do my best to get it read here, but I want you to listen. 62nd Psalm. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Not the politicians. From God cometh our salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Now listen to what he says in verse 5. My soul waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Boy, wait on God. Our expectation is completely from him and him alone. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He said, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely, men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, listen to what he says. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Alas, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. What I'm saying to you folks is this. You have a wonderful God. He's a gracious, wonderful God. He loves you. Let your expectation be in him, not in this world system, but in God. It's going to get worse, okay? It's going to get worse. The Bible says it is. Just trust God every day of your life. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that our expectation certainly is not in this world. Thank you, Father, because it's a wicked mess. But thank you that our expectation is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.